David Jacobs.
Hello there, and welcome from the Golders Green Hippodrome in North London. Our audience is in seasonal mood, having been greeted by Father Christmas on their way into the theatre, and we hope that you at home will be able to take a break from the Christmas preparations and join with us in this festive celebration as Ian Sutherland conducts the BBC Radio Orchestra in A Christmas Overture.
Thank you.
Of traditional carols arranged for the BBC Radio Orchestra by David Francis. Well, Christmas is a time for presents, for giving and receiving, and who can remain unmoved by the children's excitement and joy as they finally unwrap those parcels that have been accumulating around the Christmas tree? Mind you, some people just don't know where to stop in their generosity of giving, as is evident in this, The 12 Days of Christmas, a correspondence by John Julius Norwich. 25th of December. My dearest darling, that partridge in that lovely little pear tree, what an enchanting, romantic, poetic present. Bless you and thank you. Your deeply loving Emily. 26th of December. My dearest darling Edward, the two turtle doves arrived this morning and are cooing away in the pear tree as I write. I'm so touched and grateful. With undying love, as always, Emily. 27th of December. My darling Edward, you do think of the most original presents. Who ever thought of sending anybody three French hens? Do they really come all the way from France? It's a pity we have no chicken coops, but I expect we'll find some. Thank you anyway, they're lovely. Your loving Emily. 28th of December. Dearest Edward, what a surprise. Four calling birds arrived this morning. They're very sweet, even if they do call rather loudly. They make telephoning impossible, but I expect they'll calm down when they get used to their new home. Anyway, I'm very grateful, of course I am. Love from Emily. 29th of December. Dearest Edward, the postman has just delivered five most beautiful gold rings, one for each finger and all fitting perfectly. A really lovely present. Lovelier in a way than birds, which do take rather a lot of looking after. The four that arrived yesterday are still making a terrible row, and I'm afraid none of us has got much sleep. Mummy says she wants to use the rings to wring their necks. She's only joking, I think, though I know what she means. But I love the rings. Bless you. Love, Emily. 30th of December. Dear Edward, whatever I expected to find when I opened the front door this morning, it certainly wasn't six sucking great geese laying eggs all over the doorstep. Frankly, I rather hoped you'd stop sending me birds. We have no room for them, and they've already ruined the croquet lawn. I know you meant well, but let's call a halt, shall we? Love, Emily. 31st of December. Edward. I thought I said no more birds. But this morning I woke up to find no less than 7 swans all trying to get into our tiny goldfish pond. I'd rather not think what happened to the goldfish. The whole house seems to be full of birds, to say nothing of what they leave behind them. Please, please stop. Your Emily. 1st of January. Frankly, I think I prefer the birds. What am I to do with 8 milkmaids and their cows? Is this some kind of a joke? If so, I'm afraid I don't find it very amusing. Emily. 2nd of January. Look here, Edward, this has gone far enough. You say you're sending me 9 ladies dancing. All I can say is that judging from the way they dance, they're certainly not ladies. The village just isn't accustomed to seeing a regiment of shameless hussies with nothing on but their lipstick cavorting round the green. And it's Mummy and I who get blamed. If you value our friendship, which I do less and less, kindly stop this ridiculous behavior at once. Emily. 3rd of January. As I write this letter, 10 disgusting old men are prancing about all over what used to be the garden. Before the geese and the swans and the cows got at it. And several of them, I notice, are taking inexcusable liberties with the milkmaids. Meanwhile, the neighbours are trying to have us evicted. I shall never speak to you again, Emily. 4th of January. This is the last straw. You know I detest bagpipes. The place has now become something between a menagerie and a madhouse, and a man from the council has just declared it unfit for habitation. At least Mummy has been spared this last outrage. They took her away yesterday afternoon in an ambulance. I hope you're satisfied. 5th of January. Sir. Our client, Miss Emily Wilbraham, instructs me to inform you that with the arrival on her premises at 7:30 this morning of the entire percussion section of the Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra and several of their friends, she has no course left to her but to seek an injunction to prevent you importuning her further. I'm making arrangements for the return of much assorted livestock. I am, sir, yours faithfully, G. Creep, Solicitor at Law. Well, I don't know how long ago your local high street put up the coloured lights, but here in London, they were preparing the Oxford Street decorations in October. The commercialisation of Christmas seems to be on the increase every year. Little wonder some of us are trapped into feelings of guilt, resentment, or sheer panic if we haven't kept up with the countdown the marketing people target. The writing team of Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick summed it all up rather neatly in this number from their 1963 show, She Loves Me. To sing 12 Days to Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome our special guests, the Stephen Hill Singers.
Organize the time at their disposal. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4.
BBC Radio Orchestra under their principal conductor Ian Sutherland and the Roy Andersons' enduring sleigh ride. Here's a poem by G.K. Chesterton that gives a fresh slant to the traditional Christmas story. The Christ child lay on Mary's lap. His hair was like a light. Oh, weary, weary were the world, but here is all right. The Christ child lay on Mary's breast. His hair was like a star. Oh, stern and cunning are the kings, but here the true hearts are. The Christ child lay on Mary's heart. His hair was like a fire. Oh, weary, weary is the world, but here the world's desire. The Christ child stood at Mary's knee. His hair was like a crown, and all the flowers looked up at him, and all the stars looked down.
To my
Stephen Hill conducted his singers with Andrew Winter at the organ and Harold Dark setting those exquisite lines by Christina Rossetti in The Bleak Midwinter. 1989, as we all know, has been a momentous year in many respects, politically and climatically. Who will forget that long, hot summer, Nahari? In the history of popular music, this year can also be said to have been momentous, with the passing at the grand old age of 101 of Mr. Irving Berlin. I'm very happy to be able to tell you that some months before his death, Mr. Berlin received a tape copy of the 101st birthday tribute, which our singers and musicians who are with us today recorded in this very theatre last May. Let's briefly remember with gratitude the life and the truly amazing output of words and music from his pen, as Lee Gibson sings for us the number that became Bing Crosby's greatest ever hit and the biggest selling record of all time, Irving Berlin's White Christmas. With Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Christmas, of course, means pantomime and fairy tale. Dick Whittington, Snow White, Robinson Crusoe, Mother Goose, Aladdin, and surely most popular of all, Cinderella. Perrault's story has inspired many composers, from Rossini to Richard Rodgers, from Johann Strauss to Stephen Sondheim. And in 1976, a lavish screen version was made at Pinewood Studios under the title The Slipper and the Rose. Although the male lead, Richard Chamberlain, was American, many notable British talents were employed on the film. It was produced by David Frost, directed by Brian Forbes, and it starred Gemma Craven, Kenneth Moore, Michael Horton, Edith Evans, Annette Crosby, Margaret Lockwood, and Christopher Gable. The music was entrusted to the American songwriting team of Richard and Robert Sherman, who had a fine track record of scores for the Disney organization, including Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Mary Poppins. Our soloists today are Jacqueline Barron, Michael Dore, Mary Carew, and Stephen Hill, as singers and orchestra bring you Gordon Langford's arrangement of music from The Slipper and the Rose.
Thank you. good kings, bad kings, sane kings or mad kings, benevolent or nefarious, here is where they bury us. What a comforting thing to know. There's a prearranged spot in the family plot where my royal bones will go. Yes, I'll be slipped into the beautiful family crypt. Ho, 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 what a comforting thing to know. That drunkard young King Ferdinand, he reigned for half an hour. He got so soused when they crowned him, he fell from the castle tower. King Lloyd was lewd and lecherous, evil, cruel, and treacherous. King Roy was mad and dreaded, till the day he was beheaded. Rearranged spot in the family plot where my royal bones will go. Ho, 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 what a comforting thing to.
Ho, 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 what a comforting thing to.
Ho, 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 what a comforting thing to know.
He quite agrees.
That's how it always shines.
status quo, which means there's nothing changeable, nothing rearrangeable. Position and position is not everything in life.
And no throne, just two subjects, you and me, in my private monarchy, where the king is love and love alone.
In that secret kingdom that you see,
a song that's never sung? What is a heart that's never thrilled to be young? What is a dream that can't come true? What is my life to me without my love for you?
The Stephen Hill Singers and the BBC Radio Orchestra lead a Michael Tomalin under its principal conductor, Ian Sutherland, with that infectious selection of songs from The Slipper and the Rose. We'll end our Christmas celebration today with a song from another British film musical, this one that starred Albert Finney in the title role of Scrooge. This reworking of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol had a score by Leslie Bricusse, from which our finale number is taken. On behalf of all our singers and musicians and our producer, Anthony Wills, this is David Jacobs saying goodbye from Golders Green and wishing you, wherever you may be, the compliments of the season.
Sing a song of gladness and cheer, sing of gladness and cheer, for the time of Christmas is here.
Leslie Bricusse, ending the David Jacobs Christmas special, which was recorded before an invited audience at the Golders Green Hippodrome. Stereo sound balance was by Tom Burtonshaw, and the programme was produced by Anthony Wills.